It is so good to be back with the Great Neck family. I've been looking forward to this day since Pastor Steve and Pastor Josh asked me to go ahead and come out here and be together with all of you here in our Great Neck family today. Does anyone love our senior pastors? I was standing here during the worship and I was just reflecting on how my journey with our church started when it was actually my 16th birthday that I walked into this place, and the building did not look as cool as it looks now. I mean, it was a purple building. We had like palm tree murals on the walls, but the presence of God was in the house, and the miraculous was happening, and I have never been the same since then. And so all these years later, to get to be a part of what God is doing in this very special way, I just felt gratitude welling up in my heart, and I just wanted to publicly say how thankful I am for our senior pastors, for their faithful example, and honestly, the opportunity to share the word today. But as we get into the word, I want to take us back just a little bit further than when I was 16 years old. I want us to actually go back to 1989 for a moment. 1989. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. Tell them where you were in 1989 real quick. Go ahead. Some of you are turning to your neighbor and saying, I wasn't even a thought on my parents' minds in 1989, right? That's what some people are thinking. Some of you are turning to spouses and saying, where was I in 1989? I can't even remember, right? 1989, I was 5 years old, and I was watching The Karate Kid. Back when movies were movies, right? Right? They didn't need CGI because they had good acting. And I remember watching this scene, and it's a moment in the Karate Kid movie where Daniel, the main character, he's been under a lot of stress. And he walks into his kitchen, and he's talking with his mom, and he's processing his day. And while he's talking to her, he walks over to the refrigerator, opens up the refrigerator, pulls out a Yoo-hoo chocolate milk and just starts shaking it up. And he cracks it open without even asking his mom for permission. And I remember watching that happen and thinking that was the height of smooth. That you could walk into the kitchen, have a conversation with mom, and get whatever you wanted out of the refrigerator and not ask if it was okay first. Is it just me, or were you one of those blessed few who grew up in a home where you dared not take anything out of the refrigerator without asking mom or dad for permission first? Well, it just so happened the day I watched this scene, my mom had picked up some Yoo-hoos. So I remember thinking, this is so cool. I want to do that. So I walked into the kitchen, and my mom was in the kitchen doing something, and I remember walking over to the refrigerator, talking to her about my own day and my five-year-old woes about life. And I pull that Yoo-hoo out, and I remember like looking at her, like, how's she gonna respond to this? And she put down what she was doing in the moment, but she didn't say anything. And she's just looking at me, and I crack open that Yoo-hoo, and right before I take my first sip, she looks at me and she says, Joseph Austin, what are you doing? And I just like froze, and she looks at me and she's like, you will ruin your dinner. Put the Yoo-hoo down. And I was shut down so hard that morning. And I gotta be honest, why am I talking about opening a Yoo-hoo? It's a bit of a stretch at the moment. It's gonna make sense in a little bit. But I think that's a beautiful image of what it looks like when you and I try to pursue our breakthrough going about it the world's way. That if you and I, the people of God, try to break into a higher level, you try to break into a new breakthrough, you try to inherit the promises of God, you try to walk in the blessings of God, but the way that you're doing it is you're just monkey see, monkey do with whatever the social media influencer du jour is, can I tell you something? That is a road to discontentment and burnout. And it's amazing how we get around this Christmas season and so often we get tied up with all the imperfections of life. You turn on the TV, you see the perfect Hallmark Christmas. You look at your life and it has all the joy of curdled eggnog. You just look at your life, and it's so easy to begin to strive and to begin to push and to begin to try to do things in our own strength. And I'm here to remind us all today that if you're the one making it happen, you're the one who's going to have to sustain it. But if we, the people of God, are walking in His leading, His guiding, His blessing, His promise, His prompting, then He who started it, He will divinely be the one who sustains it. You see, you who living is when you pursue biblical promises with the world's methods and means. As silly as I was watching a movie and walking into the kitchen and just trying to do what I saw some Hollywood celebrity doing, when we try to do that in our marriages, when we try to do that in our own spiritual walk with Jesus, when we end up doing that in our own finances or our health, we just see what the world does, and we know God wants us blessed, but we're pursuing biblical promises with the world's methods and means, we will get shut down quicker than I got shut down by my mom as a 5-year-old stealing a Yoo-Hoo in the kitchen in 1989. And so today, the title of my message is simply this. It's called Given by God. Someone look at your neighbor and say, Given by God. Yeah, those of you online with us today, again, we're glad to have you with us in this moment. Type that in the chat right there, given by God. Write it in all caps if you want. Put a little heart after it even if you like, because you have emojis on your screen right now. We don't have those. But what I want to do is I want to unpack how to wisely, and that's the key word there, how to wisely expand into what God has entrusted to you and to me. It's one thing to expand. It's another thing to do it with wisdom. It's one thing to blow up in a moment. It's another thing to do it in a way where you can burn bright without burning out. And God doesn't just want you to go from strength to strength for a moment, but He wants you to go from strength to strength across the grand arc of your life story. We won't enter into that life doing it the world's way. So today I want to break that idea open for us. How do we wisely expand into everything that God has for us? Does that sound good? I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into the word, all right? Lord Jesus, we thank You for the power of Your presence. And God, we thank You that right now we're in a holy moment. I pray that You would calm any of the storms, the cares, the concerns, the frustrations, the fears, the doubts that any of us may be feeling right now in this moment. And I pray that You could take center stage in our hearts, center stage in our minds. And Lord, I pray that we could hear loudly what it is that You're saying to our church, what You're saying to our families, what You're saying to our marriages, what You're saying to our identities. God, we're leaning in today, and we ask You to speak because we, Your servants, are listening. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray all these things. And somebody said, amen. 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 Someone go ahead, turn to your neighbor real quick. Tell them your favorite Christmas movie. I'm going to take a sip of water. A lot of you aren't turning. I guess you just don't watch TV. No favorite movie. Last week, I was preaching at Seaboard, and I asked what people's favorite movies were. And one person screamed out, Die Hard. So that settled it. Die Hard is a Christmas movie, for anyone who was wondering. It actually is. See, a lot of us in the house of God, amongst the people of God, where we pursue growth the same way that cancer grows in our bodies. So I don't know if you know this. This is a bit of an oversimplification, and those of you who are in the medical world today, please forgive me for how much I'm simplifying this. But at its root, cancer is essentially it's unregulated growth of cells in our bodies. It's that you have, you know, your body is actually governed by a series of very deliberate and finely attuned biological processes that were set in motion by God Himself. You are the living proof of intelligent design. And there are these processes that are always going on in your body and mine that govern the growth of cells, the replication of cells, the division of cells, and at times even the destruction of cells when they become detrimental to our well-being. Well, the growth, thank you, there we go. I will take that as, I'm gonna believe you're a medical professional and affirming it in Jesus' name. There we go, I'll take it. But the problem with cancer is it just says, we're gonna grow. And if you were to ask those cells, what are you growing for? They're gonna look at you and say, we don't know, we're just gonna grow. And they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow to the point where because they are unregulated, their growth is now endangering your health and well-being. And cancer is actually indifferent to the long-term health or the vitality of the host who is carrying it. And the reality is some of us are pursuing growth in life as a reflection of living in a consumerist culture, in a Western postmodern culture that is trying to find life and meaning and significance through the pursuit of happiness. And the more presents I have under the tree, the happier I'll be. And we're trying to find life through growth. And the reality is we're pursuing growth in our lives with what I call the theology of cancer, which is growth for the sake of growth, without concern for sustainability and long-term health. And in the same way that cancer can take over a body and actually begin to suck the necessary nutrients out of where they need to be to this unregulated growth, so too unchecked ambition will consume and destroy the soul that is supporting it. Unchecked ambition. Seeking growth. Why? Because the Joneses have it and I need to keep up with them. Seeking growth. Why? Because I'm unhappy where I'm at and it must be that the solution is to just get more of what I don't have. See, in Joshua chapter 18, we read about Israel getting ready to take the promised land. They're actually at a unique stage in it because the land has been conquered, but they haven't allotted all of the territory yet. What do I mean by allotted? They've gone in, they've done battle with the enemies, they've defeated the enemies, but they haven't taken the land that was given to them by God and figured out exactly where each tribe is going to settle. What is their land? What is their allotment? Would be the biblical language for that idea. And today we're looking at Joshua 18, and I want to look at just a handful of verses. Picking up in verse 2, it tells us there remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. Someone say seven. Okay, again, type that in the chat. Just put the number seven right there. There were seven tribes. Now you may be wondering, how many tribes did Israel have? There were 12 tribes. So that tells us over half the tribes still had not received their allotment from God. And I think that's a beautiful picture of when we come together as the people of God. The reality is there are some people here and you are living in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You have received your allotment. But never forget that there are people around you who are still on the front end of their miracle. That there are people around you who are still on the front end of their breakthrough. You may have seen the answer to your prayers, but you are surrounded by other people who have not yet received what they are believing for. And this is where Israel is in that moment. So in verse 3, Joshua says to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given to you? Provide 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out that they may set out and go up and down throughout the land. They will write a description of it with a view to their inheritances, and then come to me. And they will divide it into 7 portions. Judah will continue in his territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall continue in their territory on the north. And you will describe the land in 7 divisions and bring the description here to me, and I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. I love how the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, in a commentary, it writes about this idea of allotment, and it says this. It says, the specific territory in Canaan that each tribe settled was not left to their own initiative, but rather the divine will of God. That the land that Israel's stepping into, what is this Bible dictionary reminding us? It's telling us that the land Israel was ultimately going to take, it wasn't the land that they could take as quick as they could in a mad grab of selfish frenzy, looking out for mine because no one else is looking out for me in the world. No, each tribe's allotment was a reflection of what a sovereign God had spoken over them, what their life would have, what the boundaries of their life would be. And as long as they walked in obedience to God, hell or anything on this earth could not keep them out of the blessing that God intended for them. It wasn't a matter of them talking God into getting on board with their agenda, but it was actually a matter of each tribe hearing what God had divinely and perfectly intended. And instead of trying to convince God and enlisting him to their purposes, it was the invitation to partner with God and to step into his perfect plans and his perfect timing. It's expanding in a way that is entirely different from what the world shows us. And I want to remind each of us here today that you are called to live a life of blessing. You are called to live a life of increase. We are called in Scripture to be the head and not the tail. We are called to be above and not beneath. We are called to be the lender and not the borrower in Jesus' name. That is God's inheritance for his people, for his children. And yet the reality is living that expansive life, it is not up to your own understanding. It is not up to your own strength. It is not up to your own cunning. It is not up to your own strategy. But we actually enter into that life as we, with trust, walk in partnership with Jesus Christ. And I love the season that we're in as a church. We're still in our legacy season. Maybe you've been out of town and you're still thinking about how you want to be a part of our legacy campaign as we bring this year to a close. I want to remind our church here today that we do not choose what we do and don't do as a church, but we're actually a church in partnership with God. And as he is inviting us into very strategic endeavors, we're partnering with what God is calling us into. It's not that we sit in meetings with dartboards and throw darts and figure out what are we going to ask people to give towards this year. No, we're on a journey with God who has given Wave Church a divine allotment, a sovereign allotment, and we are walking into it with him. We're not just straining for the sake of being the biggest, baddest church on the block. You know, as a wise theologian once said, ain't nobody got time for that. No, we're actually stewarding what God has invited us and called us and apportioned to us as a church. And when each of us partners with legacy, we're entering into that allotment in Jesus' name. But I want to remind all of us here today that kingdom advancement is always preceded by divine allotment. Kingdom advancement is always preceded by divine allotment. Can I tell you something? As the people of God, if you want the definition of a nightmare, it's this. It's advancing into something God never called you into. The definition of a nightmare, advancing into something God never called you into. Advancing into a business decision God never invited you into. Advancing into a dating relationship that God never invited you into. Advancing into the partnership with someone, and there's a level of a spiritual overreach of them into your life that there's no accountability for them themselves. That is a nightmare waiting to happen right there. Advancing into something that God never called us into. And so that begs the question, how do I discover God's allotment for me? How do I know what God wants for me? Because Joe, I don't want to live in a nightmare. I want to live the dream, not the American dream. I want to live the kingdom dream. So how do I do that? How do I know what my allotment is? Joe, how do I discern that? I believe we see keys to that in this passage right here. And the first thing is this, that discovering your allotment requires partnership with God's people. Discovering your allotment requires partnership with God's people. Now, anyone who's been a part of Wave Church for any amount of time, you've heard us talk about the importance of that, the house of God, the people of God, the community of God. You might be settling into your seat saying, oh boy, here we go again. The reason we need to constantly remind ourselves of the value and the importance of the people of God is because we live in a society and culture that is constantly pumping into our hearts the myth of the Marlboro Man, of just being your own savior, of being your own superhero, of being the main character of your own story. We are constantly living in a society that is encouraging us to look after numero uno, right? And we need to be reminded that as the people of God, it is a different life. It is an upside down kingdom, that the way up is down. And it's living in partnership and in community with other people. And we see that right here in this passage. If you want to go fast in life, just go alone. If you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, it's going together. I believe some of God's most powerful works unfold in the context of community. I mean, look at what Pastor Caleb was just talking about with Angel Tree a few minutes ago. It was how many presents given? Around 2,000? Yes. You thought you were done with needing to know those facts, right? And here we are right now. I'm asking you for it. Was about 2,000 gifts given yesterday. Yeah. See, on your own, you likely could not give 2,000 gifts. If they were, it'd be like 2,000 pinto beans. You get one and it's like Oprah, but way less generous. You get a pinto bean. You get a pinto bean. You know, it's just not the same, right? Like, give me the car, Oprah, right? No, but when we come together as the people of God, united around a common cause and a common purpose and a common theme, now we have hundreds, almost 1,000 families who have presence they would not have otherwise. It's a beautiful example of what happens when the people of God come together. And here we are in Joshua 18, verse 2, and it tells us there were 7 tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. And then in verse 4, we're told, get 3 men from each tribe, and we're going to send everyone out together. So we see that the 7 who didn't have did not attain their allotment by going out in their own strength, but they stayed together as the people of God. See, collaboration is necessary if you want to advance into God's plan for your life. God does not take the family members and set them in isolation. No, scripture tells us he takes the lonely and he sets them in families. A work of God will never pull you into isolation. If you think something God is putting on your heart is leading you to rage against counsel, community, humility, and being together and found amongst the people of God, I want to prayerfully encourage you, think twice before you go all in on that bet. We cannot discover what God intends for us in isolation. I told you I've been a part of this church since 2000. It's in this house that I learned clarity in the midst of soul-wrenching confusion. It's in this house where my perspective was sharpened when I thought I knew best. It was in this house surrounded by people that I had accountability and I have accountability to make sure that my life doesn't go off the rails in a moment of indiscretion. It's being here in the people of God that I have found wisdom I could build my life on. It's here in the people of God where when my faith is tanked, they've pulled me up and kept me buoyant on the waves of their own faith, carrying me along. See, the reality is, in real life, Rambo dies. He makes a great movie, but in real life, he never makes it out. And God has not called you to be a spiritual lone ranger. So as you are looking to discover, what is God's purpose for my life? Friend, you'll never find it sitting in isolation. So my simple question to you today is, are you trying to claim God's promises without God's people? Let that linger. Are you trying to claim God's promises without God's people? Because if that is the path you are on, you might be on the way to that nightmare we talked about earlier. Oh yeah, your life is expanding. It's taking ground. But remember, if you're doing it in your own strength, it's on you to sustain it. And scripture tells us, even youths grow tired and weary. Even the young man faints. But those who wait on the Lord, and they're going to rise up. It's an Atlanta Falcons Bible verse right there in the middle of the Bible. I don't even like football. I don't know why I just made that joke, but it just came to me. It's from growing up in Georgia. No, left to yourself, things fall apart. I think the second step that we see in this passage to discovering our allotment, it rests on obedience to God's commands. Someone say obedience. Obedience. Come on, right now, type that in the chat. Obedience this morning. Obedience. It's a little too long, but we treat it like a four-letter word in today's world. I love what Eugene Peterson writes about. He warns us against serving the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. If you want your life to implode, just go ahead and wrap it up in the real small package called you. I wonder, are you living your life for the glory of God? Or are you following that unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? See, society has tried to say that obedience is this hangover from a patriarchal society, that it's old-fashioned, outdated, and you are this incredible being who can define your own truth. But the reality is, obedience safeguards you. It protects you from overextending yourself into battles God never called you to risk. Obedience will protect you from compromising your soul. Have you ever seen someone who just lost the script about what life was really all about? You know, the scary thing is, none of us are immune to losing the plot. It could happen to you just as easily as it could happen to me, just as easily as it's happened to so many people we've seen in the headlines over the years. See, obedience will protect you from exchanging eternal rewards for temporary gain. Here we are in 18:3. Joshua says to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? What is he saying? He's saying, how long will you put off obeying what you know God called you to do? And I want to ask that same question Joshua asked of you and I today. What is that space? What is that place in your life where we are putting off what God is asking of us? Is it just me? Am I the only one who sometimes fights back against God and thinks that my way is better? Does anyone else from time to time struggle and just be like, God, do you know how silly that sounds? Sometimes I feel like saying that to God. There are chapters of my life where God was at work and I did not understand it. And everything inside of me did not want to do it his way. But it is through obedience that you are aligned with the allotment God has for you. It's through obedience. And in that, just like the enemy, to get you to think that the very door that will open up your breakthrough is the very door that he convinces us will be the death of our breakthrough. I mean, that's how the devil works. He takes the idea of obedience and makes it sound like where dreams go to die. But the reality is, obedience is where dreams go to thrive. It is the most fertile soil in the kingdom. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Can I encourage you today? Obey God, especially when it doesn't make sense. Obey him especially when it doesn't seem to be adding up. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The band can go ahead and come on back up. What is a path? A path is not where the journey ends. A path is where the journey begins. It doesn't say, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will lead you to a dead end. It says, no, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. What does that mean? It means, hey, in all your ways acknowledge him and your life will continue to expand. In all your ways acknowledge him and your life will continue to grow. In all your ways acknowledge him and your life will begin to look more and more like what God has put in your heart. May not happen the way you want it to. May not happen as quick as you want it to. It actually may happen in the generations of your children on the other side of your obedience, but it will come to pass. See, trusting God's commands over our ambitions, it requires surrender, but it ensures our security. Obedience requires surrender, but it ensures our security. I mean, just for a moment, think about Chernobyl. It was this massive event that happened in Ukraine in 1986. Many of you will remember hearing about this either on the news or maybe you learned about it years afterwards in history books and different courses in your academic pursuits. But Chernobyl was this nuclear facility in Ukraine where critical safeguards were overlooked. And because of it, there was an absolute meltdown in the facility. It was catastrophic. Devastated the plant. It was completely written off, and the entire surrounding area was deemed radioactive and unfit for living. Scientists actually say that that area will now be uninhabitable. It's a radiation exclusion zone in the nation of Ukraine that they are saying it will be almost 1,000 years from today until human life can once again live there without any risk to our well-being. Critical safeguards were ignored, a meltdown resulted, and a place that was once filled with life and inhabitable became wasteland. It became radioactive. It became no longer able to sustain human life. Why? Because safeguards were ignored. You could be on the doorstep of God's breakthrough. You might be just steps away from receiving the promise that God has put in your heart to stand on and to believe for. And if we ignore obedience to God and his commands, that place that was able to sustain life, that was going to house the God dream that God has given you, in the blink of an eye, it can turn into a wasteland, a place of regret, a testimony to what was. All because instead of trusting God and obeying him and walking faithfully with his commandments, we just decided to take things back into our own hands. To say, God, my way's better. To say, God, my way's easier. To say, God, my way makes more sense. How do you end up like Chernobyl? You care more about the outcome than you care about the God who called you. So my simple question for fellow saints and sinners alike today is this. Are you pursuing your plans more passionately than you're pursuing God? Are you pursuing your plans more passionately, more faithfully than you're pursuing God? Because here's the reality. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But he will not allow his children to make an idol of that purpose and to turn him into a stepping stone to get something that has our heart more than he has our heart. And as we stand on the doorstep of 2025 and we begin to dream of all the things that could be, you're eyeing maybe buying an ice bath because that's what you saw the social media influencer doing recently. And you're convinced freezing yourself every morning is the gateway to pristine health. You used to want to be on a date with Brad Pitt circa Fight Club days. Now you're just thinking, I'll just take a person with a pulse. You're laughing because we've all been there. An idol is when we ask anything in the creation to do what only the Creator can do. And God has a divine plan and purpose for your life, but He will never give it to us at the expense of having our whole heart. Today, I know, and online, there's people here, and you don't know Jesus. You know what it's like to pursue happiness. You don't know what it's like to find it. You know what it's like to seek, but you don't know what it's like to find. You know what it's like to thirst, but you don't know what it's like to be satisfied. You know what it's like to hunger, and when it's all said and done, you're hungrier than when you first started out. Can I tell you something today? That what you're looking for, it will not be found in a career. It's not found in a bank statement. It's not found in a physical address. It's not found in a diploma hanging on your wall. It's not found in a trophy spouse. It's not found in the car that you do or you don't drive. It's not found in whose attention you do or don't have. Listen, it's not found in how many followers you do or don't have on social media. No, all of these things are castles of sand. They can't deliver on what they promise. No, the reality is that what you are seeking is found in Christ and Christ alone. And it's not that there's something wrong with you for wanting wholeness. It's not that there's something wrong with you for wanting love. It's not that there's something wrong with you for wanting to live a life where you feel like you matter and you're not a mistake and you're not just taking up space. No, God created you to have those desires, but He created you in a way where they could only be found, satisfied, and accomplished in Him.